From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Elodie Reed, filling in for Mitch Wertlieb. It's Monday, November 25th, and here are today's headlines. Today is the last day Vermonters affected by this summer's floods can apply for federal disaster assistance. That includes residents that were hit by the July 9th through 11th storms in Addison, Caledonia, Chittenden, Essex, Lamoille, Orleans, and Washington counties. And Vermonters in Caledonia, Essex, and Orleans counties that were affected by the July 29th through July 31st storms. If you were impacted by both, you need to submit separate applications. The deadline to apply for FEMA assistance is 10 p.m. tonight. You can apply for aid online at disasterassistance.gov, through the FEMA app, or by calling 1-800-621-3362. Vermont's latest statewide survey of high school students has intensified concerns about youth mental health. Kelly Dougherty is the Deputy Commissioner of the Vermont Department for Mental Health. She says the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which polled more than 15,000 high schoolers, revealed some troubling findings.
A third of high school students said that their mental health was not good most of the time or always. And so that is obviously not good. And it's even worse for female students and LGBTQ plus students.
The survey found that nearly a quarter of high school students engage in acts of self-harm. And 14% say they've made a suicide plan in the past year. If you or someone you know is in crisis, you can get help by calling or texting the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. Most Vermonters are fed up with their property taxes and think an income-based system would be a better way to pay for schools. That's according to a poll commissioned by the Vermont NEA, which is attempting to rally support for such tax reforms. Lawmakers will reconvene in Montpelier in January, and education finance is expected to be at the very top of the agenda. Colin Robinson, the union's political director, told lawmakers in a meeting last week that an income tax for schools enjoys widespread support.
7 in 10 Vermonters support eliminating the residential property tax in favor of an income-based system. That is the reality. They support this move.
The union survey also found that nearly 8 in 10 Vermonters support an extra tax on vacation homes. Vermont's retail cannabis shops will be able to sell higher potency products to customers with a medical card starting next summer. Cannabis Control Board Chair James Pepper says in preparation, the state is trying to develop a training system for employees who work in dispensaries.
Our job at the Cannabis Board is to find some sort of evidence-based, peer-reviewed training procedure so that bud tenders aren't in the position of giving medical advice.
The Vermont Medical Society opposes this move. Pepper admits it's a challenge because a lot of doctors are reluctant to recommend cannabis, so patients are seeking medical advice in the retail shops. Senator Peter Welch last week introduced two new bills. One bill would reinstate congressional funding for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, or UNRWA. The humanitarian organization has existed since 1949. That's after the Arab-Israeli War displaced hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. Congress revoked UNRWA's funding following allegations by Israel that some employees participated in the October 7, 2023 Hamas-led attack. The UN has since fired 9 of the 30,000-plus UNRWA employees. Welch's second bill would expand protections for people in Customs and Border Protection custody. Specifically, it would ensure people can get back confiscated essential personal belongings like medication, legal documents, or religious items. That's after reports of CPB repeatedly taking these items, including one instance of Border Patrol agents forcing someone to throw away their father's ashes. Also last week, a Superior Court judge ruled that Burlington has broad authority to regulate short-term rentals in the city. A group of property owners sued last year, claiming that the city overstepped its authority when it passed restrictions on short-term rentals. Those include a requirement that property owners live on the same lot or building as the short-term rental. The lawsuit claimed that state law only allows regulation of short-term rentals for the purpose of promoting a municipality's health, safety, and welfare. But Judge Samuel Hoare, in a November 19th decision, wrote state law clearly allows municipalities to impose these regulations and that the city's intention with the ordinance was to create more long-term housing, which is good for health, safety, and welfare. And Killington Resort has received the green light to host World Cup races later this month. The International Ski and Snowboard Federation, the governing body of the FIS Ski World Cup, signed off on trail conditions late last week. The announcement ensures that both the giant slalom and slalom races will take place as scheduled over Thanksgiving weekend. Preparations for the World Cup continue with snowmaking and grooming teams working in unison. Killington is also open to the public for skiing and riding. Coming up, some very old bells in Middlebury. That's after this.
The Frequency is sponsored by the Autosaver Group's year-end sales event going on now at all 15 dealerships in Vermont and Western New Hampshire. Savings on their entire lineup, from trucks, SUVs, and EVs to fuel-efficient cars and family-friendly models. Inventory from all stores at autosavergroup.com. And Gills Point S Tire and Auto Service, offering tire and brake service, oil changes, and state inspections. Online at gillspointstire.com.
Visit Middlebury College at 1 o'clock on a weekday, and you'll hear the beautiful sound of bells. That's the carillon, an instrument made up of 48 bells and played like a keyboard. And it's been ringing out from the college's chapel tower for more than a century. For some of Middlebury's international students, the songs have a very special meaning. Vermont Public's Andrea Lorien went to hear more.
Okay, I'm George Matthew Jr. I live in Brandon, Vermont. I've been carillon here for 39 years now. What else can I tell you? I'm 89 years old. I have two great-grandsons.
Oh.
I've been around for a while. And I intend to keep playing until, I always say, either I can't play decently anymore or Gabriel blows that horn, whichever comes first.
Middlebury Chapel sits on a hill overlooking the idyllic campus. Every afternoon, the carillon rings out over the surrounding hillside. And what does it take to make those bells sing?
They're quite sturdy, though.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
A long climb up some very steep, very narrow stairs.
George! Hello! Oh my gosh! How do you do it?
Welcome to 75 steps.
Oh man.
George Matthew Jr. has been climbing these creaky chapel stairs for longer than I've been alive. It's a small room, but perfect for one caroliner. You play a carillon with wooden batons attached to bells above you. It reminds me of a piano's funny cousin. On the walls are posters and flyers from events Matthew has played around the world.
Here is the tower of the Wine Tasters Guild in Zutphen, Netherlands. They have a very strict rule. You must do your recital before you try any of the wine. And carillons will last a long time. The oldest carillon I ever played was in Bruges, Belgium. It was made in 1610 and is still going strong. Here's one, a gorgeous carillon, a wonderful city, wonderful people. The only sad part is to get up to the top of this carillon tower is 750 steps.
Matthew comes from a musical family. When he was seven, he got hooked on the miniature French horn. From there, he taught himself all the brass instruments. He learned the piano at his parents' insistence before becoming a church organist at age 13. He still plays an organ at St. Thomas Church in Brandon.
Do you play piano yourself?
Very little. I know how to do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Excellent. Well, they're just bigger keys, and they're played mostly with the fists, although to some extent you'll use the flat of the hand. I'll demonstrate a little bit here.
Matthew's current project? Playing the national anthems of every country represented in the Middlebury student body. 70 countries in all. He plays 7 different national anthems a day.
So today I've got Pakistan, Portugal, Palestine, Tibet, what have I got here? Norway, Irish Republic, and Canada. And
Matthew says the project grew out of two moments that percolated in his mind. One was an encounter on Christmas Eve with a student from Ecuador. The student was very sad because he wasn't able to return home for the holidays, so Matthew played Ecuadorian carols to cheer him up. The other inspiration pertained to his own national anthem. You know, the one heard before every major sporting event from the Atlantic to the Pacific.
Many years ago, I had done a bunch of concerts in France, and I took the boat over to Ireland. And the ship goes through Cove Harbor and then docks at Cork. Well, the Cove Cathedral towers over the harbor there, and the deep water brings the ships very close to the shore. And the caroloner there is a good friend of mine, and he has a deal with the captain. The captain of the ship calls him on the radio telephone and tells him what nationalities are aboard the ship, and he plays the national anthem for them. And he played the Star-Spangled Banner for me.
On the day I visit, several students from Tibet join us at the top of the chapel. Tenzin Dodin and Tenzin Yotso shared their thoughts when Matthew was done playing.
It's like really easy on campus to forget where you're from because, like, you know, you're just caught in the day-to-day stuff, like, between classes. And so it's nice to hear it, like, when you're walking through campus when you don't expect it, because it reminds you of, like, where you come from.
You're nodding. Could you tell me what it brings up for you?
I would say it's such a historic moment for me. I feel a great sense of pride, you know, in places like Middlebury. There are so many people who have not even heard of Tibet leave the national anthem. And I remember them playing, like, a while ago, Ukrainian national anthem. And I can see, like, how much it meant for Ukrainian students. And also, I guess, like, them playing Tibetan national anthem is, like, first step towards people letting know about Tibet and the struggles we've been through.
My people came from Ireland originally. And so I'll say to all of you, Cead Míle Fáilte. That's Gaelic for 100,000 welcomes. That's the ancient language of Ireland.
Matthew ends each hour with a Middlebury alma mater. It's his way, he says, of telling the campus that the bells are done for the day. For Vermont Public, I'm Andrea Lorien.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Brittany Patterson, Pete Hirschfeld, Lola Dufour, Liam Elder Connors, Nathaniel Wilson, and me. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Elodie Reed. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.